Welcome to Sales is Not a Dirty Word, the show that proves if it's a fit, it's a fact. I'm your host, innovative sales coach, Alicia Barr, the creator of the Black Sheep Sales Method. If you're a done-for-you service provider who's ready to sell differently than the mainstream status quo so you can grow your profits and impact without pressure, pitching, or pretending to be someone else, then this is for you. If you want to know more about the Black Sheep Sales Method, then go to www.aliciabarr.com. This episode is with Noah Jacobs. After starting a hedge fund in college, he decided to bring some of the research tools he was building for investors to salespeople where they could have a higher impact. Now they leverage cutting-edge AI to help sales professionals do all the research they need to figure out which companies have the pain points they're solving and who to contact at that company and how to get a hold of him. So the thing that was really interesting about Noah when I talked to him is he was seeing, like everybody sees, that AI is going to take over and automate all of our jobs, blah, blah, blah. And they were trying to say that sales, that they're going to automate sales. And so Noah's talked to some people who tried to do that. And Noah, how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, Alicia, I've talked to over 105 salespeople in the past 2 or 3 months. And it's the same thing everywhere. If you're trying to automate sales, a lot of the time, you're just going to end up automating bad practice, which simply doesn't work, right? Like, I mean, if you're just trying to get people meetings on their calendars, then you're missing the point. You're never trying to get meetings on a calendar when you're selling. You're trying to sell the thing. And if you're just going piecemeal and trying to automate part of the process like that, you really, what we're seeing is you oftentimes end up with bad results, suboptimal results there.
Yeah. So you bring up such a prevalent process that we see where there's an SDR and there's an AE. And what they're trying to do is automate the SDR. And for anybody who doesn't understand those acronyms, it's the sales development representative. Basically, they're supposed to go get leads and meetings on the quote unquote closer's calendar, so that the closer just takes a qualified meeting and closes it. Sounds so nice in theory, right? Except when all you're doing is incentivizing someone to get meetings, they're going to get a lot of shitty meetings on your calendar.
Totally. I mean, it's Goodhart's law, right? It's just this concept that if you pick something as the goal, but it's not actually the goal, just getting meetings on a calendar is the goal for the sales development rep, the SDR, but it's not the goal for the organization, then everything they do is going to be to get those meetings on the calendar. And the problem with that is now you're just getting meetings on a calendar. And then the account executive is stuck with all these noisy meetings. And you maybe find out 2 or 3 meetings in, oh, this person's not even a fit, or maybe at the first meeting if you're lucky. And that's just not a great way to spend time or resources. So in addition to people trying to automate it, we're seeing some of these companies actually switch away from even having SDRs to begin with. A lot of the companies are actually promoting their SDRs to junior account executives so that everybody's doing the whole process. So you're not stuck with somebody who has to do half the process and get kind of these suboptimal, subpar results. You're seeing this reunification of the salesperson into a full salesperson who's doing the whole thing, which is really cool. And at least for me, that's how I think it should be.
Yeah. And so my experience was being an account executive that set my own meetings and closed my own meetings. And I've trained many sales teams, and there's always been like this, should we get a setter thing? And there's a lot of rapport lost there. Like, you don't know how somebody's setting up a meeting, how somebody's coming into a meeting. And if they're not prepared or framed the right way, I mean, it can be a terrible meeting. And for the setter, they have no control over the person who's closing. So like, they might have had a great relationship with the person that they set a meeting with and great rapport, and like the closer is having a bad day and is like, oh, I have to get on this call with this person. They're probably a shitty lead, just like all the other ones that my SDR sets and blah, blah, blah. And like, all that work the SDR did is just flushed down the toilet because the AE wants to say these are terrible leads and it's not my fault that they're not closing.
I mean, Alicia, like, imagine if I had an assistant and you had an assistant and our assistants met to set this podcast, right? Like, we'd be starting from square one right now. But it's just, that's not necessarily how you want to do this. So you say, I'm glad we talked before this because now I know you and you know me. But we would be starting from square zero. We would not have any progress whatsoever if Or if even your assistant talked to me instead of me talking to you, right? Even if one of us has an assistant, the whole thing's gone.
Yeah, it's so true. And there are things that you can do that with. But like, and what you're pointing at, which is the thing that I think is the holy grail of everything, is it doesn't get results. It's not effective, it's not efficient, and that's the only thing that matters. So if it's not getting results, why would you do it like that? Because somebody's like, I guess, lazy or likes to say that they don't have enough time, which I get. Time is what you prioritize. So it seems like you should prioritize something that's going to equal more money for you.
Yes. Find the lever that actually works and keep pulling it. Which is kind of like what we're helping salespeople do is we're doing the research. We're not doing the selling. We can't do that. That's your job. You're good at that. That's why you're a salesperson, but maybe you're not great at research. Maybe you just don't have the time to research. It's not as high leverage. That's why our entire service is really focused around that research, all of the searching you have to do otherwise, so you can actually focus on the selling part, the really high leverage thing that a salesperson gets paid to do.
Yeah. So this was really interesting because it comes down to like, and since I've hired a lot of salespeople, manage them, there is a typical profile. And that the typical profile of a salesperson is not detail oriented. And they're kind of lazy. And I say that having been one. Like I didn't want to do research on leads. That sounded like pulling my fingernails out one by one. It sounded so awful, you know? Like I would do it and then it would get me excited about it because I would know something about the prospect and now I could have like a starting point for the conversation and stuff. But the fact that you're doing that for them when it's not typically a salesperson's strength is a huge asset. And so a lot of salespeople aren't even thinking about how to research. So you do that piece of it too. Like, can you give some examples of like how you help somebody automate their research?
Yeah, no, so an example we really like to use is let's say you're selling security systems to hospitals. Really, what you care about as the salesperson is this company experiencing the pain point that my product or service is solving? Like, that's all the good salespeople I've spoken to know that. You're never selling a product, you're never selling a service, you're selling a solution to a problem. So, with this hospital example, maybe of all the hospitals in the US, maybe we're finding the one that has had a security incident in the last year, and maybe also has bought another security system in the last 6 months, and maybe the nurses are on Twitter tweeting that I don't feel safe. Right? All those things really work together to indicate not it's not intent data, it's not like we're looking at cookies, we're looking at what's going on in the real world. What things are actually happening that indicate that the problem is there, that you can actually come in and start ahead of the curve. You don't have to do necessarily as much of the discovery there. Of course, we can't guarantee you that the company is open to working with you by any means. That's your job. But what we can do is say, here's the evidence that that pain point is actually there to begin with.
Yeah, and then the same person who's going to be closing the deal will reach out and set up the deal. And so when you've done this, do you have like any comparison in results to what they were doing with an SDR and an AE compared to just one salesperson setting the call, reaching out, having this research step at least done for them and being able to outreach?
Yeah, so we don't have any direct stats on SDR versus AE, but we do have one with a full cycle AE who was able to use our software and increase his response rate from 12.5% to 20%. So the research works because we're not just giving you the information. It's not simply an information tool. It's also effectively prioritizing of anybody you could reach out to, who are the best ones to reach out to. It's picking, we can't find you a date to prom, but we can tell you who's single and we can tell you who's interested, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and at that point, like you should have crafted some type of opening message that will really appeal to the person with that pain point. And for, you know, somebody who might be saying, oh, 7.5% isn't that much. Well, if every deal is
Oh
$50,000
my
and you have
God.
7.5% more of those, then that's a lot of money.
That is.
Yeah. And that's not a really large deal size either. Yeah. Okay, so essentially, the collection and the filtering can be automated, but not the actual outreach process. So when you talk to people who were automating things, what were they automating? Were they automating, did they pretend they could automate the entire sales process or just the appointment setting?
Depends on how ambitious they are. A lot of them are just automating the appointment setting. And some of them are even charging based off of if they get somebody to respond, whether or not it's a good response, right? Where they're saying, oh, it's X dollars if we get somebody to respond, which back to incentive structures, that's as perverse as they come because obviously you can just say whatever you want to get somebody to respond and it's not necessarily actually pre-qualifying them by any means. So their definition of qualified is did they respond? Well, I mean, any salesperson knows that that's not necessarily a great definition of whether or not they're qualified. That's just the start of the battle. So yeah, the automation stuff, it's again, it's almost like they're trying to automate the SDR, which is automating sometimes bad practice. That's not to say all SDRs are terrible. It's just to say the structure in which the SDR and AE split works, it does not work for everything. And if you're just trying to automate that split, then I don't know where you're going with it. I don't know. That doesn't seem like it's going to work. And we haven't seen it work.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm like sitting here wondering, like, what's the drive behind it? Like, do they not want to pay commissions?
I don't know. I think part of it is it's hard to automate anything that's high quality, right? It's like, what is the easiest thing to automate? And maybe it's commissions. Maybe that's why they want to go get away from it. Or it could be just it's hard to automate a good level of research, right? Like, if something's commoditized, right, you can go out and find email addresses for anybody now for almost free. There's a million tools out there, you can go find it. But that's because it's relatively, from a technical perspective, from like a coding programming perspective, it's relatively easy to find those emails. So if anybody can do it, then it's easy to automate and it's easy to commoditize. We're not selling a commodity, and good salespeople are not commodities. You can't just go and hire somebody and expect to get the results. They have to be a good salesperson. And the research has to be good too. And it can't just be something that you set up a script on Google to just like Google search a word and then say, oh, here's the news. Like Google Alerts, salespeople love the idea of Google Alerts, but everybody we've talked to said, yeah, it just gets noisy. Like conceptually, it's great. But at the end of the day, Alicia, it is hard to automate good practice. It is really, really, really hard to automate good practice. And that's why we still have humans in the loop in a lot of what we do to make sure that the quality stays up.
Yeah, I think that like the idea that people could automate salespeople is insulting and offensive to me for many
It
reasons.
is. It should be. Yeah.
Like it's just really a lack of acknowledgement that sales takes talent and experience and expertise. And I understand that AI is supposed to be like intelligent or whatever, so it can adapt in the moment. It's not just like this script, but there is so much that the human brain filters in any given interaction of micro expressions and tones of voice and body language. And I don't think that AI can filter all of that, organize it, and have a correct response in the same way or amount of time. And honestly, like a lot of salespeople are mediocre for sure. And maybe that's why they're automating it because of the mediocre ones.
Sure. Could be. I mean, we can talk about AI all day, but I mean, just like an LLM, like GPT, it's not like us, right? It takes so much more. It's consumed more information than either you or I could consume in 100,000 lifetimes to get remotely close to what we can do. There's something different computation-wise. We have something up here that really lets us quickly learn from a few examples on how to get better. And then when you take that really powerful machinery and you give it to a salesperson, you give a human brain to a salesperson, and you have them sell for 5 to 10 years, it is really hard to be that good. There's a low barrier to entry for sales. This is why it's so interesting to me. There's such a low barrier to entry for sales, but to be absolutely exceptional or even great at it takes so much concentrated effort, so much focus. The difference between some of the best salespeople I've spoken with and an entry-level SDR is massive. And it's just simply by the fact that we have really good brains for learning things with repetitions, and just the amount of repetitions and hours an exceptional salesperson like yourself has put in, it's incredible. How can you copy that? It's not a commodity. It's a skill. It's something that takes time and concentrated effort to really build up. And it's, to your point, offensive to say you can't go build a machine to make a Swiss watch. You still need the Swiss craftsman. It doesn't work to think it's arrogant almost to think that right now, maybe in 50 years, sure, but right now it's almost arrogant to think that you can just out of the box automate art.
Yeah, like I understand that you wish you could. Like I understand
Yeah.
the desire. Because like there are a lot of sales divas and a lot of business owners feel very insecure about somebody being having such an impact on their revenue. They feel beholden and all of these things. So like yes, I can understand the desire to wish that you didn't need that person at all. But there are good salespeople who aren't going to like you know basically hold a business owner hostage by being like the only, you know, person producing on the team. There, you know, it's really like a culture issue and a leadership issue more than like a salespeople, I don't want them issue. And a good salesperson is worth their weight in freaking gold. And
Amen.
yeah, I mean, honestly, being able to have had enough experiences with enough people, like enough personalities where they took the conversation in some weird way you could have never thought, and somehow you brought it back. That is something that it's just a time thing. Yeah.
I'll give you an
So,
example. Go ahead.
no, tell me the example.
I'm
Yeah.
just going to give you an example of one of the best salespeople I spoke with. He works at a Fortune 500 company, global sales leader for a relationship with another Fortune 500 company. Insanely high dollar value for the relationship there. And he and nobody could get a hold of a target at the company he was selling into. Nobody could figure it out. So what this guy does is he looks at that other person's speaking schedule and sees that he's going to be at six conferences over the next month or so. So he goes to literally every one of those conferences and watches the guy speak. And then on number six, he's in the bathroom, and the target goes into the bathroom with him and says, "You're following me." And then the salesperson says, "No, well, yes," and ends up setting a meeting for the next week with him. But how are you going to have an AI do that? Like the quality there is just so different, right? Like that is very, very high level sales, and you can't even begin to think that you could automate that.
Yeah, it's a lot of dedication. I mean, think about, yeah, when you're talking about those higher level deals, especially, I can't believe those people would ever, with those CEOs, like those people are have a very swift eye for shit that is not worth their time. Somebody trying to like sell them some shit, they're gonna not answer. I can't imagine them answering AI and really like going to some further point. So I love the message that you can't automate sales. However, I also love the message that you can automate the research and the collecting and the filtering and the categorizing of it, and that you're there as kind of a think tank for companies to realize, like, I mean, traditionally, how do you see people target their outreach?
Yeah, I would say there's kind of that gap where a lot of the people we've spoken with who have dealt with SDRs before say this is the level of research that my SDR should be doing, my mid-level SDR should be doing, or this is the level of research that I should be doing, but I simply don't have time to be doing. So some really good salespeople at the highest dollar value will go this deep, but then you kind of have that channel where it's not necessarily multi-million dollar enterprise sales, maybe a little bit below that, where there's still enough volume where it's almost not justifiable for them to go through and do the research, but they still need to. And that's really where we're seeing the biggest impact is in kind of that middle channel ACV above 30, maybe under a couple million, where it's not insanely concentrated research. But as far as how they're actually doing it right now, everybody we're talking to is more so saying, "This is how I wish I was doing it." Right now, maybe they're playing around with three or four tools, going through using ZoomInfo, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, mixing them all together, and getting a result and doing some Google searches, trying out Google News alerts, but there's no really concise process like this. And the problem is you go to hire an SDR solution and we get back to that quantity thing. So quantity is not an excuse for not having quality.
Love that
Quantity is
line.
key, obviously. I mean, it's true, right? Quantity is key, but if you're just going to try to brute force your way through by increasing the quantity of something that's not high quality, you're not really going to get the results you want.
Yeah, I mean, it aligns so much with how I say like sales is not a numbers game unless you treat people like numbers and they can feel that difference. Absolutely. And what you're talking about is the confidence in the salesperson outreaching, knowing like you're not just a number, you are actually somebody who is in a position that could be a lot better of a position if we were working with you. And there's an excitement and a passion behind that that is genuine that the other person can feel.
I mean, the all the good salespeople firmly believe in what they're selling. Nobody who's good at this is duplicitous, right? Like, yeah, there's the used car salesman, the shady guy, whatever. But all of the seriously good salespeople are seriously trying. They're doctors, they're consultants. They're seriously trying to help the person they're talking to solve their problem, and they firmly believe that the product that they are selling is the best way to do it. And it's very human, it's very relational, it's not transactional.
Yeah. That makes such a huge difference. And I wish that that was always the case. But I mean, even the best salespeople can all of a sudden get caught up in their own agenda. Like, I just want the sale. I just want the money. And people feel that commission breath. Okay. So I love all of this so much, Noah. And the difference in results that you're getting for people, the alignment with it being quality, and also a pretty good amount of quantity, too. So you really can get both and get that research phase done for you so that you can outreach with excitement and confidence. Because I think part of the reason that people hate outreach is the dread behind someone telling them, like, F off. Like, they just don't want to hear that, right? And they feel like they don't know who's going to say that to them because they don't even know who they're calling. They're just like randomly messaging or calling people. And that's where the dread comes from, I really believe. So, I thank you so much for coming and sharing this with us today. And that
Of
is
course.
a good stopping point. Can you tell everyone how they can find out more about you and how they could work with you?
Totally. Yeah, and thank you, Alicia, so much for having me on here. This has been a blast. And you can email us at hello@ultimainsights.ai or go to our website, www.ultimainsights.ai. And there's a Calendly to book a demo there. And we'd love to hear from you and possibly work with you.
Yeah, and you guys, you can't automate sales, but you can automate filtering outreach that you're confident in, and that is a gift. So, thank you so much, Noah. This has been the Sales Is Not a Dirty Word podcast, where we show you how to convert up to 80% of your sales meetings without pressure pitching or pretending to be someone else. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.